Thank you, Cheryl. Beautiful job. Thank you for that song. I love that song. Open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. The book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. Next Sunday night, Lord willing, we will be back in our study on the greeter, the doorkeeper, and the ushering, if you will, the ministry of ushering. We'll talk more about that next week. I will say we need your help. I noticed there's just a few names on that list, and please understand that we are hoping to do a rotation with the ushering ministry, so that way you're not in the door greeting ministry. And so if you'd like to help out in that, we could use your help in that, and I know you'll be blessed in doing so. But tonight, I want to just share a few things that's in my heart. And as you, many of you know, all of you know, I know that last couple weeks have been rather interesting for me in my own personal life. I was doing really well, and I had cataract surgery in April on my left eye, cataract surgery in June on my right eye, and it resulted in 20/20 vision for the first time in my life. Amen? Amazing, truly amazing. And I was doing really, really well. And throughout the healing process, the doctor had told me, he said, just, you know, the only thing we watch out for, he said, if you see flashes of light in your eye and some shadowing, you need to call us immediately. And so everything was going good until about 1:30 in the morning. On Tuesday morning, I got up and was coming back from the restroom, and pitch black in my bedroom, and I noticed flashes of light. It didn't hurt. It wasn't like there was any pain or anything, but I noticed that there was something different going on. I laid down and realized some of the peripheral vision of my right eye was gone, was dissipating. So I got up that morning, and called the retina surgeon right away, and she said, well, come on in at 1 o'clock. And so I went in, drove myself there, and mind you, nothing was really wrong. I mean, my eye was fine, seemingly fine, and had noticed just a little bit of some vision differences in the bottom right corner of my eye. And so she looked at me, and she said, you've suffered a retina detachment. Boy, it was like a punch in the stomach, and just really kind of knocked the breath out of me. And just being transparent, I cried in the chair when she told me that, because that was a fear. That was something that the doctor was concerned about just due to my high nearsightedness. And so she said, we're scheduling you for surgery. So I'm like, all right. So this was Tuesday afternoon. She scheduled me for Thursday morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, 5:30 in the morning. And I'm like, all right. And so got home, and between Tuesday afternoon through Thursday night, I watched my eye just basically disappear. I mean, I went from having vision, good vision, to losing 95% of the vision in my right eye. It was as if somebody just pulled a super dark black curtain over my vision. And scariest thing I've ever been through. I won't lie, as far as physically. And so it stopped me dead in my tracks. She told me to go home, and I misunderstood her. I really did. I was telling Brother Tommy and Miss Nancy this morning, I misunderstood her. She said, go home on Tuesday. She said, go home, and you're on bed rest. Well, her definition of bed rest and my definition of bed rest apparently aren't the same definition. And so when I left the office, left her office, it was just up the road, and I came to my office and was here for a little while, worked on a few things, and to help Brother Stephen get ready for his first wedding that he's ever done, and did a good job, I understand. And so I spent some time there, but boy, what a scary, scary thing. And why am I telling you all that? I promise you, my heart before God is not for a sob story. I just simply tell you that this is kind of where I'm going tonight, is in the context of, as a believer in Jesus Christ, I've said it 1,000 times, if I've said it once over years of pastoring, that nothing can come into my life without the Heavenly Father allowing it. And knowing that nothing can come into my life without the Heavenly Father allowing it, it really has made me stop and think these last couple weeks. You say, preacher, what did you do? What did you do when you left the doctor's office? Honestly, I was crying. I was driving myself home, and I was mad. You say, who were you mad at? I was mad at God. Just being transparent. And I said, Lord, I don't get it. I said, I truly don't understand it. I said, everything was going well, and all of a sudden, I could possibly lose my eye. I could lose my vision. I'm a preacher. That's what I do, you know. But God's still good. He truly is. He's still good. And so he just, for a couple weeks now, he's just been just speaking, and really, truly, he's just been speaking encouragement in the heart. I really feel he's been drawing me closer to him. And just really been watching a lot of sermons. I've been watching these fellas preach and watch Brother Johnny preach and Brother Herb Revis preach and a lot of my favorite preachers in America, and just listen to them preach. And when you come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it's one verse of Scripture. But to be quite honest, it's one verse of Scripture that I pray I can say that I'll do. And you say, why you pray you'll say that you'll do it? Because when I left that doctor's office 2 weeks ago Tuesday, I was mad. I really was. You say, you was honestly mad, and you were telling God, yes, I was. If you'd have been in that truck that afternoon, you'd have thought to yourself, preacher, I can't believe you and God are talking like this. Well, this is what I've learned about my Lord. You might as well talk to him about how you feel, because he knows how you feel. You know what I mean? He knows how you feel. And I mean this. I talk to him like he was my friend, because that's what he is. And so the Lord has been teaching me some things. He's been growing me in some areas of my life. He's been, growing me in my area of my devotional life. I've been doing some Wisdom Hunter devotionals. I know you guys like Brother Boyd Bailey and his Wisdom Hunters. If you don't have that app on your phone, it's a tremendous app called Wisdom Hunters. And there's a lot of good stuff in there. I will say, eat the fish, throw the bones away. You have your King James Bible next to you when you read it, because there'll be different versions, but you read it in your King James and then read some of his thoughts. So just been challenging me in those areas of my life. He challenged me, as I told you already, in the area as far as a pastor in a church, as far as missions and as far as missionaries. And so with that, stand in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. The Apostle Paul, of course, is writing to a great church. To be honest, when I think of the church at Thessalonica, there's a lot of churches in the New Testament, but when I think of great churches, I think of the church of Philippi. When I think of great churches, I think of the church at Thessalonica. When I think of great churches, I think of the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. This is a great church. And amen. It really, really are. Emmanuel, you're a great church. The Lord Jesus has blessed, and God has gloriously showed himself strong. And the reason I often think of the Thessalonican church, the Church of Thessalonica, and Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church in the same light is because, especially when you read the first chapter, Paul told the Church of Thessalonica that they were an example to all the churches around. They were an example to the churches throughout, and from them sounded out the word of the Lord. So they were an example. So I think about that when I think of the church at Thessalonica and when I think about our church. We're going to get to verse 18, and that's where we're going to spend 99% of our time. But I want us to look at just a couple verses because they really spoke to my heart as I read them earlier. Talking about thankful tonight, being thankful. The Bible says chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5 and verse 9. Let's just start there, and I want to say a couple thoughts here in a few verses here. Verse 9 says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." That one verse is one of the reasons I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. The Lord hasn't appointed us to wrath. If you read in the context of chapter 5, he's talking about the day of the Lord. So that's just on the surface. But here's where I was going with it. "Who died for us," in verse 10, "that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." Verse 11, this is a great verse. "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another." Edify means build up. "Edify one another, even as also ye do." Paul says, you are doing these things. You're doing these things. You're edifying one another. You're comforting one another. You're encouraging one another. That's literally what he's saying there in verse 11. In verse 12 he says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing." But here's verse 18 is what we're going to look at tonight. "In everything, give thanks." For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for who you are. We acknowledge, Heavenly Father, that your thoughts on our thoughts. Your ways, God, on our ways. We acknowledge, Father, that you know what's best for us. Even though often, Lord, just being transparent, it's sometimes a tough pill to swallow. Sometimes her ways in our life seemingly knock the breath out of us. But Father, we praise your name for who you are. We know, Lord, that you do not make mistakes. So, Father, I pray for my people tonight that you will encourage them. I pray, dear Lord, that for those that are here that are going through storms, that are perhaps coming out of storms or getting ready to head into a storm, I pray, Father, that just in a very simplistic way, I pray, Lord, that you will allow us to really see the value and the importance of being thankful. Father, Paul's already told them in the earlier verses that you died for us. Lord, if we could even just get our minds and our hearts around that truth. That's a life-changing truth. You died for us, Father, and we're thankful. You were buried, you rose again. You saved us, Father, for those that are here or watching the internet and have been born again. Father, you saved us. We praise your name for that. So, Father, I pray that you'll help us to just press in a little to you tonight. Father, we know that you'll press into us. You say in your word, Lord, if we draw nigh to you, you'll draw nigh to us. So, Father, we ask that we will draw nigh to you tonight. And we'll hear, God, what you have to say. For it's in Jesus' holy, precious name I pray. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thankful. The Word of God has much to say about thankfulness. If there was anybody, as I was thinking about this earlier, if there's anyone in the world that should be thankful, it should be God's people. Amen. We have a lot to be thankful for. In this profound verse of Scripture, it's a wonderful verse of Scripture. The Apostle Paul is giving us some guiding principles about thankfulness. You know, it's interesting to me that in the same chapter, and I had not intended on even reading those verses, but they just kind of jumped off the page at me. And occasionally, that will happen when you read the Bible. Amen? Amen? It will happen to you when you read the Bible, and a verse will jump off the page at you like you've never seen it before. And that, to be honest, I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's okay. I find it amazing that just 1 week or maybe 2 weeks before this retina detachment that just kind of knocked me off my feet, I remember preaching a message and I used one verse of Scripture that I actually committed to memory at that time just a few weeks ago. And it was the verse out of Psalms when David said, Psalm 53 verse 6, I believe it is. I think that's a reference. I want to make sure. I'm going to make sure I have the reference right. Yes, 56 verse 3. In Psalm 56, verse 3, I committed this verse to memory, and it simply says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I had no idea how I would need that verse. I had no idea. I had no idea how that verse would minister to me during the couple of weeks that's been going on. But see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he loves to talk to his kids. He really does. He loves to talk to us. And in this portion of Scripture, this one verse in verse 18, I want us to just kind of break it down, dissect it if you will, and hopefully, prayerfully, get a hold of what the writer, Paul, and the Holy Spirit of God who inspired this great text wants us to know. If you want to take some notes, I'll give you first of all, notice in this passage the command of thankfulness. The command of thankfulness. The Apostle Paul writes, and he says in everything, give thanks. Two words simply, give thanks. It's a command. You know, if there's ever a time in this world that thankfulness, it goes a long way, it's now. We live in a culture, and sadly, a lot in our culture, sometimes have that spirit of entitlement. They have the spirit of, well, you know, look all that I've done, and I deserve this, and I deserve all the good that has happened to me, and I deserve this or that. But ladies and gentlemen, may I go on record, and I hope you know my heart in this. If us in this room today, think about this biblically, if we got what we deserved, we'd be in hell tonight. Eternally separated from God. But because of Christ, who Paul has already stated in this text, because of Christ who died for us, we don't have to go to hell when we die. So Paul tells us in this verse of Scripture, he says to us, it's a command of God to give thanks. Very simply, what are you thankful for today? You know, truly, in this aspect, there's a lot of things that a person can be thankful for. Interestingly enough, that why would Paul say it? Why would Paul remind us, and just kind of remind us, about the necessity of being thankful? Because, ladies and gentlemen, if you look at other portions of Scripture, if there's one thing that we know by studying the life of Israel, the nation of Israel, if there's one thing that we can understand and we probably could all agree on, is that they would often forget how blessed that they were. And if we're not careful as God's people, we too can forget how blessed that we are. Peter's the one that wrote that said, you know, and he talked about in 2 Peter chapter 1, and he lists a lot of things about adding to your faith. And then he goes on and he says, you know, basically said, you know, unless we've forgotten that we've been purged from our sins, we've forgotten. We fail to realize. We fail to keep in our memory this aspect of all that Jesus has done for us. And ladies and gentlemen, he's done a lot for us. Amen. He's done a lot for us. You know, I would add that if Jesus didn't do another good thing for us, he's done more than he should have done. He's done more than we deserved for him to do. He's a great God. So that's the command. There's a command, and you and I know you would agree with that. It's a command of God to be thankful. It's not natural humanly. You know, sometimes in our flesh, the flesh doesn't want to be thankful. But the joy of knowing Jesus as your Savior, the wonderful truth is to know that now that you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of you. And one thing about the Holy Spirit of God he loves to do, he loves to praise the name of Jesus. He loves to be thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are to be thankful. But I want to dig into a second point. And this is really where it's going to get. We're going to dig in and we're going to look at it. We see the command of thankfulness. But second of all, notice the complexity of thankfulness. Look at the text. I purposely skipped over it because I wanted to come back to it. Verse 18. Underline the first three words. In everything. Wow. In everything, give thanks. Wow. Those three words. Look at it. In everything. Now think about that for a minute. Who was writing this portion of Scripture? The Apostle Paul, right? If there was a man who had a lot of adversity in his life, it was Paul. Beaten with a cat of nine tails many times, left for dead, shipwrecked, persecuted, imprisoned. And yet Paul says, in everything, give thanks. I'll be honest, just being transparent. When I was in my truck 2 weeks ago Tuesday, and was driving back from that doctor's office, that retina surgeon, I wasn't very thankful. I was mad. I felt like somebody punched me in the stomach. I felt like somebody had just kind of knocked me off my feet. I wasn't expecting that. I even told my wife, I said, well, at least I had 20/20 vision for 2 months. You know, makes you thankful for the 2 months. And the doctor's like, well, she goes, yeah, we'll do surgery, but for 7 days, you got to lay on your right side. You got to look down when you lay down. You got to look, if you set up, she says, I'll give you 5 minutes per hour. You can set up, but you have to set up and you have to be head forward, above your knees, looking straight down. I'm like, okay. She's mean. She is. She told me to go home and bed rest. I didn't do that. I thought meaning don't lift, don't do anything rigorous and all that. So I'm like, well, I'll just be at the office for a few minutes. So the next morning when we got to the hospital, she came in. It's early. And she came in and she said, did you go home? First thing out of her mouth, she said, did you go home and did you go to bed when you got home on Tuesday? I said, no, ma'am. She goes, oh, you didn't listen to me. I'm like, okay, you know. She's mean. After I got a surgery, she told my wife, she said, he is to do such, such, so he's not to do anything, lay on his side. This is serious. Because she put this gas bubble in there to press the retina back, and she said, it has to stay at a certain position, and if it doesn't stay at a certain position, it will detach again and literally could lose my eyesight. Isn't she mean? And my wife said, well, he'll listen. She goes, he didn't listen the first time. Mean woman. But I don't care if she's mean as long as she does a good job. Amen. Sometimes people say, yeah, but that doctor doesn't have a good bedside manner. I don't care if he's mean as the Dickens as long as he knows how to do his job right. We can talk about that later. But boy, I wasn't too thankful. I had a pity party. Don't raise your hand. You ever had a pity party? Gloom is me. I mean, I'm just honest. I had a pity party. In so much that I had to repent of it. Lord, why? Lord, what in the world? You know, okay, it's just the normal routine of Pastor Harold to have surgery once a year. Are you kidding me? But no. The Lord's allowed it. The complexity, though, in everything. You see, the problem, though, is we live in a religious world that will tell you if you serve Jesus, you'll never have a problem in the world. The only problem with that thought and that teaching is that it's so contrary to the teachings of Scripture. Study your Bible. Study the Word of God, and you'll see that time after time after time after time, Jesus wanted his followers to know that, listen, you're going to go through adversity. You're going to go through trial. You're going to go through difficulty. He even told some how they were going to die. Wow. Yeah, but preacher, I didn't think. I mean, a God like that? How is that a God of love? Listen, friend, I'll tell you how he's a God of love is because when you do go through situations that knock you off your feet and take the breath out of your body, here's how he's a God of love. He's with you every moment. He's with you every moment of the journey. He really is. I tell you, and honestly, before my Lord, I am grateful. Truly grateful for the text, the calls, the visits. And one of the most blessed texts and calls I would ever get, and Facebook messages. And it might not sound like much, but before the Lord, I was so thankful for, was when y'all would just simply send a message and say, "Hey, preacher, I'm praying for you right now." Wow. Means the world to me. You say, "Oh, preacher, it's just something sometimes." Sometimes, you know, preacher, it's a cliche. Listen, friend, God forbid the phrase, "I'm praying for you," ever become cliche in your life. If you say you're praying for somebody, you better pray for them. Brother Andy and Brother Jeff and Pastor Timberlynn and Pastor Ryan from Friendship and these, and not to mention the church family and the deacons, and you all are awesome people. And before God, I couldn't get through this without you. I mean it. You say, "Preach, you make you sound like you're a weak person." I'm very weak. Matter of fact, the Bible says I'm nothing but dust. Yes, I'm a little more dust than some of your dust, but I'm nothing but dust. My dust is a little bigger than your dust. And everything. Wow. Stop on that for a minute. Just pause there for a minute. In everything, give thanks. Three things come to my mind on that. Give thanks when the blessings of God just, man, shower down upon you. And by blessings of God, I often, sometimes, if we're not careful, we can think that by blessing we mean always good times. And listen, I'm grateful for the good times. I'm grateful for our B1 of 300 day, Brother Tommy. That was amazing. 656 people were here that day. Just kidding. 300 and something. What, 350? 349? 350? It was under 400. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for times like that. I'm grateful for times of seeing, you know, three brothers get baptized. I'm grateful for those blessings of God. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes blessings come in the form of a storm, in the form of a trial. One of the songs, I love music. I know you know that. I love all kinds of music. I don't like rap music much. Some of you do. Pastor's wife. But anyway, we'll leave that alone. I told you, I'm a little bit country. She's a little bit rock and roll. You thought I was joking. Casting Crowns. Listen to this. It's called Praise You in the Storm. I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away. Stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, that it's still raining. And as the thunder rolls, I barely hear your whisper through the rain, "I'm with you." And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. Then there's a chorus, but then there's another verse. It says, "I remember when I stumbled in the wind. You heard my cry, you raised me up again. My strength is almost gone, and I'll just be honest, just being transparent. My strength was gone. I told Leslie, I mean, honestly, before the Lord, I'm like, go to read my Bible, and it just, you can't even read it. I remember when I stumbled in the wind, you heard my cry, you raised me up again. My strength is almost gone, how can I carry on if I can't find you? As the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And the chorus goes on and says, and I'll praise you in the storm, and I will lift my hands. That you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I cried, well, I cried a lot of them. You hold in your hand. You never left my side. And though my heart is torn, I'll praise you in the storm. He's a great God. He's a great God, ladies and gentlemen. We thank him for the blessings of life. Here's something, I love this. I don't know the writer of this, but I love what he says here. He's talking about thankfulness. He says, nowhere in the Word of God are we commanded to feel thankful. Wow. Feelings come and feelings go, and they do. They can be affected by the weather. They can be affected by the temperature. They can be affected on how much you rest. You got how much rest you got the night before. Thanksgiving has nothing to do with feelings. We are not commanded to feel thankful. It doesn't matter whether things are good or whether things are bad. We are to be thankful. Wow, that's a good word there. The complexity of thankfulness. What a blessing, right? We thank him in the blessings of life. We thank him also. Here's what that means in everything. We thank him for the blessings of life, but here's another one. We thank him for the burdens of life. I make a promise to you. Matter of fact, I make a promise on the authority of the Word of God. You will, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you can mark it down. You will go through a trial. I promise you on the Bible. It's not a matter of when. It's not a matter of if. It's just simply a matter of when. You say, well, Pastor, are you trying to discourage us? Are you trying to, you know, issue a curse on us? No, no, no. No, no, no. That's not my heart. But I hope you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ, he allows things into our life. And listen to this. Miss Marsha, I know you know this. The Lord allows things in our... Brother Tom, Miss Nancy, I know you know this. The Lord allows things into our life. And guess what? He doesn't ask us if we want them or not. He doesn't even ask us. I gotta calm down. I'm not supposed to preach aloud. He doesn't even ask us if it's okay if he does it. Wow. Because I'll be honest. I wish Jesus would have asked me. I wish, honestly, just being transparent, I wish Jesus would have asked me, Tracy, is it okay if I let your retina detach? I would have said, no. No, sirree. Give that to the mean preacher down the road. He needs you more right now, Lord. No. I wouldn't have done it. I'll just be truthful. He said, preacher, oh, ye a little faith. Amen. Yes, sir. I wouldn't have wanted that. I can't believe I'm telling you this. I told Brother Andy, me and Brother Andy are falling apart. He's getting a new hip. He got a new hip. He's doing pretty good. And I was talking to him the other day, and he said to me, he goes, man, he goes, we got to get better soon, brother. I was like, I know, man, this is crazy, isn't it? He goes, yeah. He said, we got to get better. He said, because we've got a lot of hunting to do. And I said, yeah, we do. I said, but the rate we're going, I said, I'm going to book me and you a Make-A-Wish hunt. He laughed. He liked to die. He said, preacher, you've lost your mind. I know I have. But had Jesus asked me, I'd have told him no. Lord, no, I really don't want that to happen. But here's what I know about my Lord. Reminds me of a sermon I preached a few months ago. Jesus can see things that I don't see. Wow. I don't know how God's going to use this. Be honest, I don't know how he's going to use it. I know he's using my own life right now, but I don't know how he's going to use all that. But he will. He definitely will do it. He will use it in my life, and he always does. We praise him for the blessings. We praise him for our burdens. We praise him for his benefits. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me. Bless his holy name. Verse 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. He's a great God. Last week, Brother Andy texted me in the afternoon of his Chester Joash service. Had his Chester Joash in the morning. He texted me, and he was just overwhelmed, Brother Bill. He was overwhelmed with how God had just showed up and showed out and blessed and, you know, and just did exceeding abundantly above. He was hoping for around between nine and 10,000, and God gave him over 20,000. And so he was telling me, he goes, yeah, he says, to be honest with you, Tracy, he said, we're hoping to someday start like a bus ministry. He said, so we're going to hopefully maybe get that note paid off. They mailed the check the very next day and to get the debt wiped out. And he said, we're hoping to buy a real nice van to start, you know, busing kids and adults that can't, don't have transportation, start getting them to come. And, you know, he was just so overwhelmed with it. And but he texted me later that afternoon. He said, brother, he said, I don't know what to do. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, I've got a sermon ready for tonight. He said, but I don't feel led to really preach that. He said, I was thinking about letting my people give testimony. I said, absolutely. And I said to him, I said, what about reading Psalm 103? I think it's 103. The verses I just quoted to you. I said, what about reading those? And then just opening up the floor and he did that, and he said it was a real sweet spirit and real amazing thing. And he said, Pastor, well, why are you telling us that story about Brother Andy? Because, ladies and gentlemen, I've seen over the years, I've seen what the stress has done to my friend, and I've seen the stress of that. And when they had gotten down, they were just a handful, you know, of people and was barely making it. And I won't embarrass Brother Andy, nor no way would I ever do that. But there were times, and there were times Brother Andy didn't get a paycheck because of that debt. They were to pay it off, and man, what a great God. And I asked Brother Andy, I said, what was you guys paying per month? He said, we were paying over $1,200 a month on that mortgage. And so see God, how the Lord blessed and paid that off. And it's just really kind of cool to see. Here's the third and last thing. The complexity, but notice the Christ-centeredness of thankfulness. Notice what Paul says. In everything, give thanks. Underline this next thing. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's God's will, friend, that we give thanks for everything that happens in our lives. Wow. Let me just tell you something. That's not easy. I'm just being honest with you. It is not easy. This verse of Scripture, are you kidding me? That's not an easy thing to do. You say, Pastor, so what do you do? I said this to somebody when I was going through this. And I mean it. I said, I pray. I set up this way. God never wastes a trial. He never wastes a trial in the life of His kids. He will not waste them. But I said to somebody, you may be in this room, I don't remember who I told this to, but I said this to someone, I said, you know, I said, I pray I don't waste the trial. I don't want to waste it. I don't want to go through it and then not praise Him for it. He said, Preacher, you make it sound like it's been a struggle. It has been. We're to give thanks in all things. You say, Preacher, that isn't easy. You're right. There's been many times in my life that I've said, God, I don't understand this. And Lord, to be honest, I need Your grace to get a hold of this. I can't wrap my mind around this. For a day and a half, up until the surgery, literally watching my vision disappear. Boy, it's hard to get your mind around. Is Peter here, Bill? Peter's not here? Where's Peter? Peter, preacher loves you, buddy. When my vision was going, I started thinking about Peter. We need to pray for him even more. Let the Lord give him grace. The Lord's not only giving him grace, God's giving him a girlfriend. Well, sometimes you don't miss something until it's gone. I don't know, Brother Jim, I don't know that I've ever thanked God for my eyes. But boy, I do now. Because they could be gone in an instant. Unless you find a mean retina surgeon. She's not only mean, she's a mean woman, she's mean. But this Christ-centeredness of thankfulness. And everything give thanks. If I stand back a little, I can see it a little better. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And underline the last two words. Concerning you. You know what God's concerned about in your life? According in this context? You know what God's concerned with? That you and I be thankful. That you and I are thankful for what He allows in our lives. Some of my best friends in the world have come through far greater trials, tribulations than I have ever come through. And I've watched God manifest His power and manifest His grace in and through their lives. I watch Brother Tim Berlin, Pastor Faith, who's one of my dear friends. Thank God for that man, building a great work over there. And I watch Brother Berlin as the Lord Jesus sustained he and his wife whenever they lost one of their nephews as a toddler who just a couple years ago had wandered out of the house, and of course the mom and dad are frantic. They're looking for him, but what they didn't realize as that little boy had then climbed in. It was a hot day, and he had climbed in the car and was hiding in the car and got locked in that car, and he died from that. The heat. And I watched God sustain him. I watched Brother Tim as had a nephew who grew up with his boys. They were like brothers more than cousins. And he chose to shoot himself. He killed himself. Suicide, killed himself. Just a year or two ago. Wave after wave, storm after storm. And I watched how God had sustained him. It's a testament to me. I watched Brother Fain and Logan and how Logan losing his leg, mid-knee down, having to have him amputated. My wife and I got to the hospital before they amputated his leg, and you know the story. Never will forget walking in that unit, and Jeff and Charlay there in the bed, and Logan's laying in the bed, and his little leg is black as this Bible cover from mid-knee down. And I watch God, how the Lord has sustained him. The Lord will allow his children to go through trials. We're no better than Paul. We're no better than Peter. But if I may, we're no better than our Lord, who went through trial after trial. You say, Pastor, what does this message have for me? It has everything in the sense that, and God is my witness. Don't feel sorry for me. Please don't. That's not my heart. Lord is my witness. That's not my heart of this message. My heart of this message is just hopefully to show you that, hey, your preacher sometimes struggles with it as well. I don't always like what happens in my life, but the Lord has a reason. And we just pray that he'll be glorified and he'll be honored. Don't know where you're at tonight. Don't know what you're going through. Don't know what you're struggling with. But one thing I know, that if you have Christ as your Savior, he'll never let go of you. He'll be with you. He'll be with you every step of the journey. And one way of preparing, one way of preparing for storms and trials that will come, start an attitude of gratitude now. Start being thankful for things, being thankful for your health, and being thankful for your family, and being thankful for your children, and being thankful if your kids have good health. Be thankful to God that your kids have good health. Be thankful for your marriages. Be thankful. I told my wife, who has been by my side every step of the moment, every moment in these last couple of weeks, I wrote her a little email, and I said, babe, I said, I'm not only blessed by you, I said, I'm blessed through you. I'm blessed by you, but I'm blessed through you. Emmanuel Shared Baptist Church, I'm blessed by you, and I'm blessed through you as well. And I'm grateful to God for you. You pray for me, I know you do, and I appreciate it. Here's the invitation. If you're here, as always, we do this every service. If you're here and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I urge you. Use the word Paul used. I beseech you, I beg you to repent and believe the gospel to the saving of your soul. Trust in Christ and Christ alone. He'll save you. He'll change your life. Maybe you are saved. Say, preacher, I know the Lord is my Savior, but I'll be honest, I'm just not where I need to be. And maybe, perhaps, if we're just being honest, maybe it's because a trial came into your life years ago and it just flat ticked you off that it came. You say, preacher, no, let's just be real. And you've never gotten over it and you've allowed it to make you bitter. But sweet friend, what you don't realize is the Lord sees things that you can't. And he knows things that you don't know. And he works all things out for his good, for our good, but also for his glory. Wow. In everything. In everything, give thanks. What a challenge. It's a command, yes. But if I'm just being honest, it's a challenge. We've got a choice to make. But it's a challenge. Maybe you're in a storm right now. I said, preacher, I'm in a storm. My heart to you and my encouragement to you, sweet friend, would be pray for grace. That God would give you the grace to be able to go through it without getting bitter, without succumbing to it, without it wiping you out spiritually. One of the things that I've thankful been able to do is really truly just has helped me, and maybe it'll help you, is just dig into my devotional life. Just read a little devotional thought, a verse of scripture or so, and started reading the Proverbs, trying to read one of those per day. It matches with the day. I'm behind today, yesterday, and I'll catch up tonight, but what's God touched your heart about? Maybe you'd like to come to the altar for prayer. If I've said that once, I've said it probably a couple hundred times since I've been your pastor. Maybe you'd like to come to the altar for prayer. You know, you may have an opportunity tonight to intercede for somebody. You don't have to come to this altar, no. I know that. You can do that right there in the quietness of your pew, but if during this invitation you really feel led just to step out and just come and pray for somebody, I encourage you to do that. Often people say, it's the least I can do, I'm praying for you. It's not the least you can do. It's perhaps the greatest thing you can do for anybody is pray for them. Let's stand, please. Brother Stephen's going to come and lead us. We trust that the Lord has spoken to your heart that you will respond. Maybe in the matter of salvation, if you're not saved, friend, I encourage you now to believe the gospel, trust the Lord, repent and believe the gospel, he'll change your life. Maybe you are saying, preacher, I know the Lord's my Savior, but I do have a lot of things on my heart, and I just want to pray about it. You come. You don't even have to wait for the music to start. You come right now. You come and you pray. All right, Brother Stephen?
And number 54.